This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special episode. We got our girl Grace Tyler back for another round with us. And today we're talking about the new EP, Everything I Didn't Say. It's out now. And welcome back.
Thank you. You can't get rid of me, honestly.
We don't want to. How have you been doing?
I've been doing good. I think we got to do like an ASMR to kick this off.
Yeah, do it. Yeah. Go surfing. No bubbles, no troubles. That's the peach one. Have you had that one before?
No, but I'm about to. All right, cool. I'm really excited.
Let's say first sip.
Oh, these are dangerous.
I know, you love them.
I do. It's gotten me in some trouble, but it's great memories.
Great memories, always. Well, happy release week.
Thank you. Congrats. Thank you so much.
Now
Thank you. The
EP is out by the time we're dropping this. Yeah. So I guess we can kind of get into it. You're from Texas originally. We talked about that on the first time we had you on. And now to kind of watch your career grow since, and in the year that it's been about a year since we had you, I think.
That's crazy. Yeah, I think it has been a year.
Which is wild.
It's been a year.
yeah, honestly. So this project, Everything I Didn't Say, it's very raw. It's kind of flipping the script on the whole saying that an ex was crazy with the song, like she wasn't crazy, and all these different stories. So I guess kind of tell us, like, where did the story for this project come? Because I know it's very personal for you.
Yeah, it really is. It definitely was one of those projects that kind of just made itself. It all just went together in its own way. But yeah, I guess the last time I was here, I was happy in love, and now I'm back out on the streets. It's a different life for sure. But I went through a breakup mid like summer of last year to the guy I thought I was going to spend forever with. I really thought I was getting engaged this year. I just had all these plans for my life, and the script got flipped really quick, and we ended up breaking up on our 4-year anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And, you know, I'd been wanting to create an EP, do a project, but hadn't felt inspired. And so I tell everybody, be careful what you pray for, because I prayed for inspiration and it came flooding. But it ended up being the best thing ever. And so we went through the breakup, and the next day I texted my manager, Anthony, shout out Anthony. And I was just like, I think I just want to say everything I didn't say. And I was like, oh shoot, that's the EP. I have the text saved. I need to post it, but I had the text saved of like, I'm going to say everything I didn't say. And so that kind of just fueled the inspiration for the entire project, and kind of what we were writing towards when we were writing songs for it was, what would you want to say if you had the chance to speak to your ex post breakup? So yeah.
What song of these, cause you've got some great titles on there. Like, I Don't Want to Know, Weak Man, Lose Me, I Want to See You, which that one intrigues me because it's the I Want to See You, but it's from the breakup perspective. Mm-hmm. She Wasn't Crazy, and then I Hope You Have a Daughter, which the last two are very, and I guess the Weak Man, pretty, and Lose Me, they're all pretty like self-explanatory. But of those songs and of those titles, what's the thing that hits the most where you're like, I wish I had said that?
Oh, that's a good question. I honestly, Lose Me, probably from a perspective of like, if I could look him in the face and be like, hey, I'm gonna let you lose me so I don't have to lose myself. And I think that's been just kind of my anthem for the last year or so, has been, you know, not losing myself and becoming a stronger person by letting weaker people in my life go, which hints back to Weak Man. But I think it's so important to not lose yourself in relationships, and I definitely had. I had lost myself. I, you know, was so consumed by that relationship that I would have done anything to make him stay until it got to the point where there were things that were just unacceptable to come back from. And that was the point of where it was, I got to find myself again. You know, I got to love myself again, and I'm so glad and proud of myself for doing that. So yeah.
Yeah, and you get to be out, you get like time with your friends again too, which is a huge thing.
Yeah, I lost one person that I begged to stay, and when I did lose him, I gained so many people. Like, my village is just, it's grown so much, and I think I'm a better friend, I'm a better writer, I'm a better just person in general to the people that are important in my life because of that. And you know, when you put so much focus on one person, it's hard. And that's something like moving forward, I never want to do again. But I'm so grateful that I have just the best community of people from personal to business to just support me and who helped me through this. So,
yeah. So I guess we could start going through the tracks. So yeah. I don't want to know.
Yeah. This song's actually wild because we didn't write it when the breakup happened. It was written January of last year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, nobody actually knows this except for us in the room. So I wrote it with Clara Park and Avery Bielski. Me and my ex had a knockout, drag out fight where he came over. And I remember I was like standing on my staircase. And the first thing I noticed when he walked in was that he was in jeans. And normally when he'd come to my house, he would wear something comfortable because he was staying a while.
Yeah.
And so I was like, he's in jeans. Like he came straight from work. That's weird. And I just remember the look on his face. And it was just this like, he'd obviously been crying. And I was like, what's wrong? Like, did somebody die? Like, what's going on? And I remember just standing at the top of the staircase and looking down at him. And he was like, I think we need to break up. And this was a year ago. So this was before we actually broke up. And at the time I like begged him to stay. I just remember being like, okay, should I open a bottle of wine? Like, he's like, no, I think we need to have like a sober conversation about this. So that entire song is word per word, like what happened. And I begged him to stay. He stayed. And looking back, I wish I hadn't have begged him to stay, but I think every relationship when you look back and you're like, oh, it needed to have ended. You had that moment of compromising like things that you know you deserve in order to get somebody to stay. So yeah that song was crazy. So really Clara and Avery and then kind of just my team were the only people who knew that had happened. And whenever we were working on the EP, it was the start of the end. So it felt like it needed to be the start of the EP. So it got added into that.
Yeah, talk a little bit about Clara and Avery, because there are two incredible songwriters, people like in your kind of position, like young females doing it here in town.
No, they're just incredible. Not only just as people, but just songwriters. Clara, as her production is just insane. If you ever hear one of Clara's demos, like it just blows your mind. And they're just great people and great friends. And that was kind of the overarching theme of this whole EP was I wrote every song with like my friends. It wasn't like first rights or anything like that. It was people who knew me, who knew of my ex or knew my ex. And it was really a lot of therapy sessions of like, this is what's going on in my life. This is me pouring out my heart. So it really was great to have not only my support system in that way, but also have them there to put the words to paper, to song.
Yeah. That's awesome. So going down the line, so Weak Man.
Yeah.
And I love what you did with the play on words with this song.
Thank you. This one's, the stories behind all of them are crazy because they all just kind of came to life in such a weird way. But this one was the first song I wrote when like we broke up. So we took a week off of, we're not broken up, but we're kind of like, we're not going to talk type thing.
Taking a break.
It was a break. was really how it was. And I went into this write with Avery, Olivia DePonte, and Haley Payne. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to bring up what's going on. And then everybody's talking about their boyfriends. And I just like, I'm disassociating, trying not to bring it up. And they all look at me. And I'm like, okay, so I'm actually not okay at the moment. I'm actually going through a lot right now and just start breaking down. And I'd written all these things in my note section of my phone of how I was feeling, what I want to say, because we were planning on speaking again and having kind of like a, hey, do we like our lives without each other? Do we want to continue like fighting for this? And so one of the things I kept coming back to is like how it takes a strong woman to leave a weak man. And that we ended up writing that song. I had around that night, actually. We wrote it that morning. I was like, I'm going to play this tonight. So I literally, the first time I've ever cried during a song on stage was for this song. I don't know how I made it through. The whole room, everybody who knew what was happening was crying too. But I ended up playing it that night. And it just felt like it just showed me how strong I was in so many ways. Not only that it was a song about being strong, but also being strong enough to walk on stage, even though my life feels like it's blowing up in front of me, and be able to go put on, you know, play a writer's round, share my songs with people. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's giving that, there's so many girls and guys that, that go through something and that connects with. Have you been getting like messages so far from people that are going through something?
It's been wild. I think when you're going through a breakup, you feel so isolated and you don't realize how many people understand the way you feel. So that's been, I think, the greatest part of it all, is realizing you're not alone when you feel like you are alone. And there's been so many people who've reached out and have been like, these songs have been helping me. Because honestly, this entire EP was selfish. Like, I was writing it for myself. So knowing that it was able to connect to people, and, you know, you feel like you're the only person in the world who's ever experienced a heartbreak like this, and then you realize you're not, it gives you a sense of comfort and community. So it's been awesome to find that.
Yeah, it's selfish is always like a rough word to use to describe anything, because it usually means like a negative thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's, you got really vulnerable and you let people inside to, this is how I, Grace Tyler the artist, Grace Tyler the songwriter, am feeling right now.
Oh, it was, it's tough, my life.
It's tough to let people in.
It is. Thankfully, I'm an oversharer, so it comes naturally to me. I overshare everything in my life, but I think that's part of being an artist. And I keep coming back to this. One of my great friends, awesome writer, Madison Spratley, she always says, she said this one time and it stuck with me for forever, and she's like, if your music isn't embarrassing, then you're not trying hard enough. Like, if you're not being so vulnerable that you're like, this is kind of embarrassing that I'm sharing all the details, and like, everybody knows, who knows me knows who this song is about, then what are you doing? And I was like, that's the artist I want to be. One where it's like, I'm so open and honest, and the poor men in my life, like, I know I'm probably going to be single forever. This is like, they're going to run away once they hear this. But I think if you're not being vulnerable, then you're doing a disservice to yourself sometimes. Cause I feel like I've written the best music I've ever written by like opening up and tearing those walls down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think so too. Like, it's been cool watching your writing.
Thank you.
In the last year from having you, and thank you for always playing rounds and such a part of our
anytime,
family. And we're stoked like for the release party is going to be awesome.
I know. It's already happened.
It happened last night.
It happened last night. So we're recovering from last night. We had a great time at Losers. Lots of tequila for some of us. Lots of surf, like all of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night. We're probably recovering as we speak, but that's okay.
I would say so. Yeah. So going down, you talked about Lose Me a little bit, but how that would be the one where you wish you had said. But who'd you write that one with?
So that one was with Cooper Bascom and Noah West, who are like my big brothers.
Yeah.
We had had conversations before about just relationships, and they've always been the people I go to for advice on a lot of things. And that one just came from the idea of, I know I have so much to offer. Like, I know I'm a great person. I know I'm a great partner.
Yeah.
My life is awesome. The people in my life, I'm so blessed that like I am just surrounded by such a great community of people. And if that's something he wants to give up, then okay. Cause I'm not going to give up on everything I've built for myself, to be enough for one person who doesn't see the value in it. So yeah, that song again was another one of still going through the like hard time of the breakup. And the second verse of that song is probably one of my favorite verses I've written, because it's so honest and so brutal. And we were like, do we say this? And they looked at me like, you can say it. We don't know if we'd say it, but if you want to say it, you can say it. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I am going to say it. I had saved like all the flowers my ex had bought me over the 4 years of our relationship. And I was like, oh, I'll use these for our wedding one day. Like, have the flower girl throw them down the aisle. And so I had a Ziploc bag, like a little Ziploc bag that I was keeping them all in.
Yeah.
And when we broke up, I was cleaning my house of all the stuff. And I found that Ziploc bag. And I realized it wasn't even filled all the way to the top. And that was the moment for me where it was like, dang, like he didn't even buy me enough flowers to fill up this Ziploc bag. And yet I was making him homemade bread and like all these things, and just pouring my heart into this relationship. And just knowing how much that meant to me, and he still didn't do it. And so that's like part of the second verse is, I saved all the petals from flowers you bought, and there ain't enough to fill up a damn Ziploc, because there wasn't. So yeah, it's kind of crazy. And then talking about how, like, we spent so much time, if we went on dates, like, I was paying for it because I just wanted to spend time. And not that he wasn't willing to, but he didn't want to spend the money on it. He was like, let's just stay at home, or da 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 da. And so the next part of it is, take the money you save not paying for dates to go get some help, because he said he was going to go get therapy, which don't know if he did or not. But take all the money you save not paying for dates to go get some help. When you do, keep the change. Like, keep the change you make, give it to somebody else. And I hope he does. I hope he's changed and he's a better version of himself.
Yeah.
The version that I wanted him to be.
Yeah.
For the next girl. And because she deserves that. Like, I don't want him to hurt somebody the way he hurt me. So
yeah, it's the ultimate. If he wanted to, he would.
Yeah. And he didn't. Yeah.
So that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And then the title that intrigues me, because I don't think this one didn't come out. Like, some of these songs that we've been living with for a little while, they've gotten to come out as singles and been awesome releases and stuff. I Want to See You.
Yeah. What are your thoughts? So do you even know where this is going to go?
Do you have
a guess?
I don't. I mean, it's maybe I Want to See You Be Better.
Mm.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's I Want to See You Be Better, or it's the, you're in that state of like the break where it's like you want to see him, but you know you shouldn't.
Yeah. So it's actually not any of that.
Really?
This one's wild. Okay. So this one is the only outside cut I've ever done. And I've always said, when I do a project, EP, album, I always want to have at least one song that's an outside cut. Not that I feel like I can't write this all myself, but I think I've seen just how in town it's really hard for songwriters here. And a lot of times there are these incredible songs that just never see the light of day because an artist isn't in on the room when it's written. And so a thing for me I've always said is, when I do a project, I want to make sure there's a song in there that's just solely a writer, like solely writers, and do an outside cut. So we had gone around town to all the publishing companies and we're looking for outside songs. And so you sit down and they play you a bunch of songs and you listen and you're like, okay, like, I want to listen to this one again. Will you send that to me? And you put it on hold. And so there had been some songs, and like, they're incredible songs, but it just, none of them felt like me. And again, I'm like, I know I can write this entire EP myself and get exactly what I wanted, but this was just something that had always been on my heart. I mean, George Strait is the king of an outside cut, and he's my king. So if it works for him, it works for me. And I went to dinner that night for Avery Bielski's birthday, actually. And I sat down and I was telling them, I was like, yeah, like, I'm not against taking an outside song as long as it feels like me. And so Sydney Cubitt, was like, do you want me to send you some stuff? I was like, yeah, send me some songs. You know me, you know what's going on in my life. Send me some songs. And so the next day she sent me some songs, and this was one of the songs. And it word for word described a night I had in Midtown. A week after my breakup, I was like, okay, I gotta look good. I gotta go out. Like, we're getting back on the wagon. Like, we're going out. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna see the girls. And I was like, I have a pretty good idea of where my ex is going to be tonight. Maybe I just so happened to show up there looking good, which is crazy. I know, like, all right, maybe not the best idea ever, but like, I did it. Okay. I did it. So basically this song is like, I want to see you see me. I want to see you see me getting hit on by another guy, looking good tonight. Like, I know exactly where you're going to be tonight. And so tonight I want to see you see me. And so I heard that song and I texted Sydney. I was like, it's kind of rude. You looked through my diary and wrote this song without me, but I love it. I think, like, I have to have this song. So Avery Bielski, Clara Park, Sydney Cubitt wrote that song. And
who again are three of your best friends?
Like, just, and it makes so much sense that it, like, if there was an outside cut, that it was just them, because they just understand my life. I write with them all the time. So that's how that song came to be, and I love it, and I listen to it every time I go out. So before I go out, now it's like, all right, if I see anybody tonight, I hope they see me, like, type thing. It's funny.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to listen to that one now that it's out.
Now that you know.
Yeah, now that I know. And then She Wasn't Crazy for me is one of the I mean, I love all the songs that I've heard off the project and everything, but she wasn't crazy. Like, your vocal ability, I always say, like, I remember, I think we had you on I think it was either Around or one of our Wednesdays, and some of the guys from Texas were in town, like some of the Texas rock guys, like, I think they were even Oklahoma, like Gannon Freeman and some of those dudes, yeah. I think Noah Bowman. And I was like, watch this girl hit notes. Like, she sings like it's Carrie-esque, like Carrie Underwood, where you can just go and hit that next level. And you do it on like Cowboys and Tequila and some of your other songs that have been out for a while. But she wasn't crazy. Like, you hit that note and it's just it's just powerful and hits that next gear, you know? So that song. And I'm guessing there's a big story with that one.
There's a story with everything. So I wrote that with, again, Avery Bilski and then Ben Foster, who produced all the songs except Weak Man. Brandon Ashley produced Weak Man like a week after we wrote it. That was the turnaround time on that one was insane. Nobody ever does it that quick, but we were like, we have to get this out. So Ben Foster ended up producing the rest of the EP. And the EP was basically done at this point. We're like, okay, like we could say we're good and, you know, this is it. And I had to write with them. And Avery ended up being a little later and we're like, oh, that's fine. Like, we'll just flesh through some ideas. So we were going through some ideas and stuff and thinking like, okay, what haven't we said yet that we, you know, that's on this project. And I had this idea when I was thinking back about all of my exes and how he kind of just bashed them to me all the time. And I think that's a normal thing to do, but he was like, yeah, they were like insane and crazy. And I was like, I don't think they're actually that crazy because I know I'm not crazy. And I've debated like driving past his house and like slashing some tires and like doing things that I shouldn't speak of. Like, I don't know if this is theft, but like I did take his putter when I left. Like, his putter is now my putter. He was letting me borrow it and I just so happened to like not return it. So oops. But just like kind of crazy things like that, like, oh, maybe that is a little psycho, but I wouldn't be crazy if you had made me type things. Yeah. So it's looking back on all those exes and being like, girl, you weren't crazy. Like, I've thought of doing way worse than you did. So it's kind of the like community of the ex of my ex is my friend, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
That's awesome. And then you close it out with a song. And I think it speaks to the relationship that you have with your dad. Like, you go out hunting, like you're a dad's girl.
You're a daddy's girl
for sure. Yes. And I hope you have a daughter. And that song speaks to a lot of people and speaks to like anyone that has a daughter. Mm-hmm. But also it is a great message of I hope you have a daughter where you have to console your daughter through what my dad's consoling me through right now.
Yeah, for sure. So this song is the only song on the EP that was a solo write. And I honestly was like, is it good enough? Like, I get in my head when, you know, when you have like other writers in the room, you have somebody to bounce ideas off of and things. And so I wrote this one. I say my co-writer was a bottle of wine, but oopsies, because it was. But yeah, it was this saying I had with my best friend for forever whenever guys would do her wrong or just guys would be jerks. We're like, I hope they have a daughter someday. So they have to like deal with the other end of this type thing. And we wrote it or I wrote it and just like, I sent it to my mom and my dad first. And my mom was like, you have to cut this song. I was like, I don't know if it's good enough. And my mom's the only reason this song is on the EP because it probably would have sat in my phone for forever. And I'm so proud of it because I play it and just seeing a room full of like grown men cry is insane. And even like these dads who don't even have daughters, they're like, I don't even have a daughter, but you have me crying. Like, this is insane. And so that's been really cool too, of just, it's one of those songs. It's probably the proudest song I have, like the one that I'm the most proud of on the EP, just because it was me and my piano. But yeah, my dad is my rock. He's like the greatest man I've ever met. He's a pain in my butt, but I love him to death. You'll get to meet him. I guess you've already met him when this airs, but meet him.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's trouble. He comes to town and it's vacation for him. And I have to remind him, hey, this is not vacation for me. So we'll see how the night goes. But yeah, just seeing the way he stepped up in my life at a time where I kind of was just like, men are trash, you know, type thing. And seeing how I had shows, and he's like, you're not going alone. Flying out, you know, to the West Coast to be there for me, to be the one to carry my suitcases and drag my stuff, to just show me that, like, this is what a man does. Like, a man shows up for you. And yeah, I'm so blessed. So yeah.
And I love the way you ordered them, like, where I don't want to know is at the front, and then you close it out with, I hope you have a daughter.
Yeah, it felt like when we were doing the order of the songs, I wanted to do it in the order of just my thought process and how the breakup went, you know.
Yeah.
You start at the beginning by, like, I just want to beg this person to stay and to be with me, to, you know, accepting it and being like, all right, I hope you have to experience what I've experienced one day. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So now getting this project out, when did you start recording it? Like, what's the process been like of getting it out? Because I don't think people realize how much goes into a project. It's very different from, like, the singles like you had been doing.
Yeah, it took a while. I'm not going to lie. We started, so we broke up in August, wrote Weak Man that, like, second week of August, and then went and recorded it probably the week after. We had actually, I don't know who was playing. Somebody was playing at Raised Rowdy, actually. So we went out to Raised Rowdy, and Brandon was like, we need to do a nighttime vocal session on this. So let's go out and then, you know, come back to my house after and we'll do vocals on it. And we're like, okay. So we were literally at your round hanging out a few drinks in, and then he's like, all right, let's go. And so then we go back. We started at midnight or something, like 11 or midnight, doing vocals. And then, yeah, that was back in August. And the last song written for the EP we'd written back in December, which was cutting it super close. I don't know how we were able to get everything out in time, but we did. Nobody tells you that you have to, like, have all your songs ready to go, like, 2 months before you want to release it, until you start releasing music and you're like, oh, I don't have time. Like, if I want this out in, like, June, I gotta start, you know, getting it done by May or April. So it's definitely a wild process, especially when you're still going through the motions of figuring out the breakup yourself and trying to write towards that. But I'm proud. I'm glad. Like, I feel like we were able to get it done quicker than, you know, I thought we would. So it ended up working out great.
Yeah, that's awesome. What are you most enjoying right now about the single life and kind of being back?
Like, what am I enjoying the most?
Like, just having, not like now, because that was, you spent, like you said, I think you said it was what, like 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
So you spent 4 years in a relationship, and now we're like six or 7 months now into you having this time when you're tied down for 4 years. What have been some of your favorite parts now of being back to doing what you want to do?
She's back. I think being able, I feel like I've grown so much, and that's been the thing that, like, everybody in my life has said. They're like, your just demeanor is different. The way I handle myself in a room, I've kind of, like, lost, I'm not worried anymore about what anybody thinks of me, because I lost, like, the one person I cared the most who thought, like, what he thought of me, and losing him, I'm like, then why should I care anymore? Why should I care what other people think? Like, at the end of the day, the only person I need to, like, you know, make like me is myself. And if I can be happy with myself, then that's all that matters. And so I think just being able to live life in that way has changed everything. And I've just been in this process of being, like, saying yes to everything. You know, my friends are like, we can always count on Grace if we want to go to Midtown or if we want to go do something. Cause I'd spent so long being the person that's like, no, like, oh, I'm going to stay in and, like, cook dinner for him tonight, to where now it's like, it's all about me. I haven't had a time in my life where it's all about me. We started dating when I was 19. So I was, you know, young. It was, like, fresh after COVID. And so I never really spent any time just going out and doing what I wanted to do, because I wanted to be a good partner. I wanted to be, you know, what he needed, and wanted to respect him and his wishes. And now that, you know, I don't have that anymore, it's been great to be the friend that I always wanted to be the person that shows up for everybody else in my life in whatever way it is. And yeah, I'm just I am tired a lot more, I will say. Yeah, I'm really tired, but I'm loving it.
You put those hours out going out, but you also meet so many new people.
I've met so many people.
And that's a huge part. And when it does come around, because you're going to find the right guy. Like, you're fucking awesome. And the right person's going to come along the time's right and everything. Having that person that understands that in this music thing, part of our thing is we have to go to Losers. We have to go to Red Door. We have to go to Live Oak. We have to go watch people at the Listening Room. We have to go to shows and do this. And part of our thing is the networking and the nightlife. Yeah. You know, so if you have a partner that you're sacrificing for, that's why I'm so blessed with my situation. Yeah. My girlfriend Erin's like, go out.
She's
like,
awesome.
Do your thing. Yeah. Like, you understand that. And just like if she has to go out and network and do that, like, you got to have somebody that like supports you. But the people that you meet, like, how has that been now getting to meet other writers? Not that you weren't going out before, but at the volume that you're going out now with your girls or with your buddies, you know?
It's a mindset of it changes from a I have to do this to a I get to do this has been the biggest mind shift. And just to be able to go do it with, like, to go out, to go to shows, to go to rounds, to get to play things with all of my friends is just, these are my people. Like, I'll go, like, a day without seeing some of my like girlfriends I write with, and I'm like, that was awful. Like, I can't spend 24 hours without you. Like, I love you guys so much just because they are my people. They are my foundation, and I'm so blessed that like I get to work with them, and I also get to have them as such a huge part of my life. But you're so true. It's, I've met so many more people, and I've been able to network and be able to go out. And I think I never had that time in my life where I was, you know, out and hanging out with everybody just because I was so concerned about somebody and their feelings, which I feel like there's a time in your life that you can, but I'm blessed that my 20s is now mine again, you know?
Yeah, and you, from 19 to 23 to not have that, that's what you,
it's hard.
That's what the typical person does from 19 to 23.
So I'm acting like an 18 year old. Just kidding.
I'm 21 again, guys.
I'm 21 again. Oh my gosh, so crazy. But yeah, I spent so long because I when I talk about, you know, the type of partner I need, I want somebody who's my biggest fan. And it's hard when you're with somebody who isn't. And instead of going out and supporting you at shows, they're like, well, you know, you don't play until 9 p.m. tonight. So, like, I'm not going to come out. That's a little too late. I've got work in the morning. And granted, yes, a good sleep schedule probably is important, but it's showing up for people. And I spent so long having somebody who didn't show up for me that I realized I need to show up for all the people in my life. So my friends are playing. If I can, I'm going to be there.
Oh, we see you at the rounds a lot more now too.
Oh, and I'm around. Yeah.
And you have your crew of friends that you go out with and get to have those times with. And that's where more inspiration for songs come from too.
So much inspiration. You have no idea. And it's been really fun because this whole project was about that time and that breakup, and I've lived a lot of life since then. And so working on new music following this project has been a lot more of like what you've probably seen me do in the last few months of like, okay, I'm figuring out life right now and I'm having fun and I'm, you know, going out and meeting new people, and nothing's worked so far, but like hopefully one day it will. But just, you know, having fun, getting to be just dumb and have a good time with my friends downtown and go support them. And yeah, it's been really fun and just so inspiring, especially when you're writing. And yeah, it's been wild, but the music coming after, I'm super excited about too. So yeah.
What do we have to look forward to now that the EP's out? Like, what are the big goals for this year? It's hard to believe that we're already in the March.
I know, it's insane.
Flying by.
It's insane. Yeah, I think this year, you know, I want to keep on this trajectory of being the writer that I knew I always was. And I feel like now I walk into a room and I know what I want to say, which is really cool. And it's very empowering. And so I definitely want to keep up with that and then just share more of what's going on in my life. You know, I'm singing these breakup songs, but right now that's not really what my life is anymore. You know, it was definitely this is a time capsule of that time, but you know, you go through a breakup and then learn to move on from it. So I'm excited for, you know, the people to listen to the music, just to see my life just through the music. So the stuff coming out afterwards, I've been writing lately, I'm super excited about, of just okay, so yeah, you went through the breakup, you're really sad, and then things get like weird. It's like, okay, how do I do this again? Like, I'm starting over from, yeah, you know, ground zero. So being able to like walk through that with the listeners is really cool.
Yeah. And then are we thinking we'll be out on the road a lot this year, or yes, anything coming?
Yeah. So looking like, you know, some shows and stuff back half of the year, which is always exciting, but spending kind of this front half really just, you know, in town, writing as much as I can. And I just feel like I'm on this like streak right now of writing things that I'm so proud of and I want people to hear. So yeah,
that's great. And it's coming in on busy season in town right now. Like, yes, the city, the traffic is getting crazier.
It's so insane.
The bars are busy. We're, yes, about to hit that magical trinity of St. Patrick's Day, the SEC basketball tournament, and the spring breakers all coming at us at once. And, mm-hmm, then it's full go until like Halloween.
And the EP release party.
And the EP release party.
It's,
yeah,
you know, everything one weekend. We're gonna cram it all in one weekend. It's, yeah, gonna be crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. Funny. It's awesome. So what other like have you picked up like any new hobbies now since August? Like, yes, what are the new things that we're doing?
Thank you for asking.
Of course.
Yeah, I realized really quick that like, okay, now I have a lot more free time on my hands. So I'm writing a ton, but I'm trying to be better, like just in general. So now it's nice again. I'm back on the golf course. My, ooh, swing needs some help. I need a swing evaluation. I actually went the like first nice day we had, I went and I was like, okay, like I'm just going to go to the range. Let's just see how bad this is. It was so bad halfway through. Packed up my clubs, walked across the street, and went and got a margarita. I was like, maybe if I go back now, I'll be a little better. But no, so trying to get my golf game like back on course. Nice. And then I've been really into cross stitching, which is such a grandma thing of me.
Cross, so is that like crocheting that, or I'm guessing it's sewing?
It's kind of sewing. I'll have to like show you a picture of what, yeah, I'm doing. But yeah, I'm trying to find like hobbies, things to do. So that's been my big kick lately. I'm making like everybody these like funny, I'll have to make you one, but like we'll keep it in the studio. Yeah. Actually, these pillows with like funny sayings on,
oh,
them. So the one I'm working on right now is for my friend Hanley, and it says, please leave by 9, because she loves to host, but like when 9 rolls around, she's like, all right, y'all need to leave my house. So I'm making those for everybody right now. So yeah, for Christmas, everybody's getting a pillow from me. So
nice.
Look forward to that.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, that's been like what I'm keeping myself busy with. A little Midtown action, you know, all the things.
Yeah. How much do you miss Luka Doncic? Because you're a Texas, okay, girl.
Yeah, you didn't need to hurt me more. Like, we're already talking about like my exes. Now we're talking about the Mavs. Do we need to go to the Cowboys too? Like, do you just,
I'm a Giants fan.
Me?
I can't talk about,
no,
football.
You, yeah, that's true.
I'm
but
a
you're
Giants
just
fan.
Trying
we're
to
lower.
Hurt me. You're hurting me. No, it's like worst case scenario every week. It's like something bad happens every single week if you're a Mavs fan. Like, I've lost all hope. Like, I think the Rangers may be good this season. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. That's where my hope lies right now.
It's baseball season. Yeah.
It's baseball.
That's how I feel. I mean, the Knicks are playing well, but as a New York fan, it's like the Yankees. It's baseball time.
It's tough. Yeah. Being from Dallas isn't really fun a lot of times when it comes to sports.
But
yeah,
it's just crazy. Like, nobody was expecting it. Like, he was the guy.
I know. I don't want to talk about it.
There's like people protesting at the games now. Like, they
literally
boo the owner when he walks in.
Rightfully so.
It's crazy.
Why would you? I don't even want to get.
Got to bring back
it.
Mark Cuban.
My man Mark.
I
know. Miss him.
The golden age.
The golden age. I know. I miss him. I miss Luka. I was out at dinner and just seeing Luka in a Lakers jersey just feels
just doesn't look
wrong.
Right.
It doesn't look right. It doesn't match his like the yellow in his skin tone. It just doesn't go. Like, he's pale like me. We can't wear yellow. Yellow's not our color. Like, get him back in blue. But yeah, it's fine. All right.
Have you gotten to go home at all recently?
I haven't. No, I haven't been back in a while. I miss it. My parents are coming in town. We call my dad. My dad goes really hard day one. And then the rest of like his trip.
Where does he go now? You've been in town for a while. Yeah. So do they still feel the need to go down to Broadway and stuff?
They don't venture to Broadway, thank goodness. But they do. They do love a Midtown moment. Yeah, my dad goes really hard day one. So we call him Hurricane Chris.
When does he get in town this week?
Wednesday.
Okay, well, we do have a Wednesday night event at the Duck Blind. If he wants to get hard and start to know all the bartenders.
I might drop him off. I might have to leave.
If you want him to come and hang, we'll thank him for raising you rowdy, and then we'll keep an eye on him. Hurricane Chris wants to come by Duck Blind.
No, so we say like a storm is coming. Like right now it's Monday when we're recording this. So you can feel it in the air. Like a storm is approaching. It's just like the level of a hurricane we're going to get this time is like what we're nervous for. Is it going to be a category 2, category 3?
Well, like, we're celebrating. So I think that increases the chances of like a cat 3, cat 4.
Yeah, which is terrifying. We have this thing called a talking timeout, which we take really seriously. It's about as serious as you can get. And it's when somebody says something like they're gone enough to where it's like, hey, you're being stupid, or like you're saying things that are like hurting people's feelings or offending people. That's when like talking timeout comes out. And like I've had a talking timeout like maybe once, and he's had one maybe once, and my manager has had one maybe once. So these are very serious. No, and we take them very serious. Yeah. Somehow they always happen in losers, which is why I'm a little nervous for Thursday.
Oh, we're doing it perfect then.
Yeah, losers or winners, which is now Duck Blind, has been where these talking timeouts came into practice. So we're hoping one doesn't get pulled out, but we take it really serious. It's 20 minutes. You go stand in the corner and you can't say a word to anybody and you get a water.
Wow.
Yeah, we take it very serious. It's like the most serious we are about anything is a talking timeout. So hopefully that doesn't get pulled out this week. We're praying for that. But it's going to be fun. My family has just been the biggest supporters of this, and I couldn't have done it without them, and I'm so blessed. I'm so excited that they're coming to town to like celebrate.
I'm looking forward to meeting them.
I know. Like,
so it's mom, dad, and who else?
Just mom and dad. My brother lives here, but he's somehow conveniently booked a vacation with his friends when our parents come to town to visit.
Like, is it your older brother, younger brother?
No, younger. I'm raising a child, essentially, is what I tell people. So I didn't think
he,
I'd
is
be...
Is he in music and stuff, or what is he doing?
He does photography and videography, so he's been out with a couple of artists, and yeah, he booked a vacation this week, and he just got back from off the road, and I realized yesterday that he wasn't going to be here. I was like, oh, convenient timing, I see. Because our parents will come stay at, we live together, me and my brother do, so yeah. They'll come stay at our house. I was like, oh, so you're avoiding like, you know, dad going through and fixing everything and putting us to work. Because that's what he does. Like, it's a project when he comes to town.
So it's projects by day.
Projects by day, party by night. Okay, you know? Yeah. So that's going to be my week. It's going to be crazy. But no, they're the best. I give them a hard time, but yeah. I'm like the female version of my dad when it comes to just... Yeah, a lot of things. And thankfully, I have enough of my mom to be nice. She's an angel. She's the reason our family like is what it is, because she's just the peacemaker. And then, yeah, there's me and my dad, and I am his daughter, to say the least. I'm excited for you to meet him.
Yeah, we're excited to have him.
It's
going to
make a lot
town.
Of sense. You're going to be like, ah. Oh,
awesome.
Know? Yeah.
Put
yeah.
all the pieces of the puzzle of the
is
going to
fit.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild when you meet people's parents and you're like, ah,
yeah,
it clicks.
That's how I am. Like, my dad is very, both my mom and dad are both big talkers. My dad works in sales, and he can just like when my sister got married, my dad gave the speech, and my girlfriend in her previous job was a speechwriter. So she'd ask my dad like, oh, you need help with your remarks? Yeah. You write anything down? He's like, no, I'm just going to wing it. And he talked for 15 or 20 minutes, and off the cuff had the whole room crying, then had the whole room laughing, then crying again, then laughing again, then it cheers. And it's like he can, like how I do well with the hosting and talking.
That's
and
you.
Then my mom is like the New York mom, super supportive, all that. Mm-hmm. I have that in me too. So it's like you
funny.
Meet the parents, you
and
understand.
It makes sense. The puzzle fits together. You're like, okay, this is all clicking. Yeah. It's gonna be a good time. For
yeah, it's gonna be a great time. But I'm so excited for you. I'm so happy
Thank
for you.
You.
So proud of you and your team, and talk about the team one time, because Anthony and like your crew that you've got around you works very hard on your stuff, and you've got like such a great support system, which is so important, because this artist thing, it's under your name, but it's very much a team sport.
It really is. No, I'm so blessed. I don't know how I got so lucky. Anthony, my manager, was like the person I knew when I moved to town. knew nobody else. And he's just been my cheerleader from day one. And to have somebody who just is your biggest fan and wants it so bad for you, and being able to work with that person is just, it's so great. Like, I know I want it the most, but I think Anthony is a close second. Like, he's right there behind me. He's so passionate about the music, this project. Like, we'll walk into rooms and he starts talking about the music and you would think he wrote the songs. Like, you would think he's the one who's about to pull out the guitar and sing just because he's so passionate about it. And yeah, it makes you want to do the best you can when you're surrounding yourself with people who are just want to work hard and make sure, you know, it all, like, it, you get what you work for. And so him and the whole Red Light team, I just have like the most incredible group of people there who've just been my champions and have worked their butts off just to help me get this project out. And so it's been such a blessing to be able to work with them and have them along for this process.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so freaking happy for you.
Thank you.
Excited. And guys and girls, if you're not following our girl Grace Tyler, get on there. Look her up. Look up Grace Tyler on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all the places, and check out the new EP, Everything I Didn't Say. 6 songs. Awesome. Go on the journey with Grace. And
this journey.
And if you joined us last night at Losers, I hope you are recovering and doing well. It's awesome. And thank you for being such a big part of what we do with Raised Rowdy and being such a big part of our family and playing all the time and repping the gear. And just like, what makes Nick and I want to do what we do is having guys and girls like yourself that are like in the scene and watching you guys grow and just getting to be a small part of the journey in town and a part of the scene. So
thank you. Being a part of the Raised Rowdy family is like such a blessing because it is such a family. You and Nikki T are just the biggest cheerleaders and advocates for so many writers and artists in town, a lot who like get overlooked. And I couldn't have done this without y'all. Y'all have been a huge part of just my journey in town. So thank you for having me. Thank you for welcoming me into the family.
Of course. And it's still just getting started.
It is. I know.
That's the crazy part.
That is the crazy part. We're going to look back in like 10 years and be like, wow,
look at that.
Look at us now. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Y'all be sure to check out our girl Grace Tyler. Everything I Didn't Say, the EP is out now. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. You drank the peach tea. I'm going to send you home with some and we'll be definitely be drinking some at the Duck Blind on Thursday.
We will.
No bubbles, no trouble. Shout out to the good folks at Surfside. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. For my girl Grace, I'm Matt Brill. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two-trick pony. But maybe the drinking and the lack of money for sure.